WTY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk. If you are really concerned for this nation, if you really, really have a concern for where we are as a nation, I encourage you to stay tuned for today's program. You know, as you look at the world around us, these indeed are troublesome times. Can I mention the pandemic, government mandates and government control, upheaval across the nation, the riots, the rebellion, the shootings, the lootings, the violence, and I could go on and on with the list. As we have so often said, the answer is not in politics, the answer is not in a strong economy, the answer is not in a new government program, but the answer is Jesus and a right relationship with Him. And as we begin our program today, I want to remind you of a biblical passage that I believe has application for us today, found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Keep that verse in your mind as we welcome our guest today, Jack Countryman. Jack is a founder of J. Countryman Gift Books. It's a division of Thomas Nelson. He's author of several books like God's Promises for Men, God's Promises for Women, Red Letter Words of Jesus, among many others. But he's with us today to discuss his timely and updated release of the book entitled If My People. Jack, good to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you. It is just a pleasure to be on your program.
Jack, you've recently updated, you've revised this book that has seen nearly a million copies go out and revised it for the times in which we are. It's called If My People. And before we talk about the book itself, tell us about your passion for putting this together. I sense while going through this book, you are greatly burdened for our nation.
Well, you know, as I look at the nation and the pandemic and the rioting and the economic crisis that has come about and all the things that are going on, I'm really burdened to think that God does have the answer if we'll just turn to Him and put our own selves on hold and let the Lord speak to us, let the Lord guide us, let the Lord be a part of our lives, and because He's the one that can make the difference.
You have lived nearly a century. I mean, you're in your ninth decade right now. Have you ever seen this kind of turmoil in a nation before?
No, never. It's just, I'm just stand amazed when I see people looting and rioting and doing all. I say, what in the world is the world coming to? It amazes me that all this is taking place.
Yeah. And we're actually living in a time when there are those who are actually trying to destroy or to desire to destroy our land, our nation, putting our religious liberty in jeopardy. And so often we turn to our own remedies on how to deal with this. But you instead, through your book, are causing the reader to turn to prayer. And you strongly believe that there's power in prayer. You've called prayer an essential element in our lives. Tell us about it.
You know, there is tremendous power in prayer. Since our nation's first days, God's greatest movements are fashioned and have been sustained by prayer.
Hmm.
From the signing of our earliest documents to the triumphs over darkness to the spiritual awakening that sustained our faith and resolved over the centuries, and throughout Scripture and our history as a nation, persistent, prevailing, intentional, and never-ending prayer has always brought the presence of God.
Hmm. So you believe that prayer can direct a nation?
Oh, prayer is a wonderful power placed by Almighty God in the hands of His saints. When we humbly seek His face in prayer, He is moved to act on our behalf and accomplish His desires for us. When we seek God in prayer for our leaders, we impact the very direction that our nation going to take. So absolutely, prayer is essential to the direction of this country.
Mm-hmm. In your book, and as I've heard you speak, you've indicated that God's greatest movements have been fashioned and sustained by prayer. Could you comment on that?
Well, if we look at the Great Awakenings that are in the book, back in the 1800s, and we found that prayer was just essential, and if people turned to God and let God run their lives, it made all the difference in the world. And there was a revival and a turn to God, and what went on in that country was just truly a revival and attention, and God became the center of our lives. The problem today is that we are so concerned about ourselves and what we're doing and not what God wants us to do, that is the real problem that we are facing today.
You know, it really is, because as we open up the pages of scriptures, it is not man-centered, it is God-centered. And even as John said, he must increase, but I must decrease, we have just the opposite today.
Oh, you know, one of the things we need to recognize is that freedom is never free. Throughout the history of our country, men and women were called to make great sacrifice and give their time and sometimes their lives so we can enjoy freedom, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah.
With every challenge we have faced, we've risen to defend the nation that we cherish. And today we find ourselves at the crossroads of determining the direction our country's future and the role of Christianity in our nation. The devoted prayers of all citizens will truly impact the future direction of our beloved country.
You have revised and updated your book, If My People. Give us an overview. It's subtitled A Prayer Guide for Our Nation. Give us an overview of the book.
Well, when the book first started out, I created 40 prayers for our nation, for people to pray 40 days leading up to the election. And so with that, someone said, why don't you add devotional thoughts to your book so that you can really, you know, not only use it as a prayer guide, but as a devotion. And so I did that. And so I've created 40 devotions that go along with your prayers each day. May I read one of them to you?
Please do.
Yes. God has blessed this nation with economic and material prosperity. He allowed us to become the most powerful country in the world and through the years enabled us to overcome staggering obstacles. God has placed his hand upon us and has been pleased to bless us as we honor him. Let us never forget or stop thanking God for the bountiful blessings that he so graciously and generously bestowed on us. I wanted to produce thought-provoking thoughts that go along with the scripture and the prayer so that we can really delve into God's word and seek what he wants us to do and how he wants us to live and how he wants us to be honored in the way we walk and the way we talk and that sort of thing.
You know, Jack, I'd like to focus in on the very first word of the title of your book. It's the word if, the word if. And so many times, you know, we seem to have our own solutions and our own answers where we know that is not where the answer lies. But the question is, will we really turn to God? And that word if is so critical.
Well, it all starts with us. We've got to take action. We've got to let God be the center of our lives. If we do not do that, you know, and the scripture says, if my people who call for my name will turn to me. And, you know, it's just God is putting an invitation to us to come and live with him. Let him be the master of our lives. Let him give us the direction we're going to go in. Because he is wanting to do that, and he's available 24/7.
Yes, yes. Call unto me, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not, the prophet Jeremiah wrote. And we don't have to stand in line. We will not get a busy signal. We will not get a return text saying, sorry, I'm on another call right now. God is available, as you say, Jack, 24/7. And it baffles me. Why are we so reluctant to call upon him?
Well, you know, let's look at history. Back in history, if we look at the founding of our nation with a president, George Washington, I put his prayer in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And Franklin Delano Roosevelt, his prayer, and John F. Kennedy, his prayer, and Ronald Reagan and Dwight Eisenhower and Abraham Lincoln, all of those men were God-centered men. And they looked to the Lord to lead them and guide them as they ruled our country and were chose to be the president of our country. And so, therefore, it's just I want to draw the attention to the history has blessed us with great leaders and with people who are, you know, who are God-fearing and, you know, that want to live in such a way that their lives are governed and led by the Lord.
You know, you mentioned this, but we keep hearing today, well, political leaders, you should not be making reference to God. There's a separation of church and state. Don't mention God. You know, there are some public officials that will send out a Twitter with the scripture once a week or something. But they're, you know, we hear this mantra today, don't reference God. But that's not what the founders intended, was it?
Oh, not at all. God was the absolute leader and guide for their lives. And we need to do the same thing. We need to seek the Lord for direction and, you know, and everything we do in our lives is important. You know, the Bible encourages us to call upon the Lord in every situation in our lives and by the extension in our land. God who never sleeps, who hears our prayers 24/7, so it seems right that what duty every Christian following person blessed to live in this country is to pray for the nation.
Yeah.
The one.
Go ahead.
And the one we call to has promised to listen. That's important. God stands wanting to hear what we have to say and wanting to bless us with his presence. If we'll just open up our hearts, open up our minds, and come to him with a repentant heart and listen to him, he will guide us and lead us and will bless us beyond all imagination.
As we're told in Scripture, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's what I'm hearing you just say there, Jack.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, when we stand together as one nation under God, willing to defend the rights that have been granted to us, we will be blessed. The freedom we enjoy comes with the responsibility of each citizen to defend that freedom. God can also use people in this land to share his love and offer encouragement to the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
We're going to take we need to take a quick break here. Jack Countryman is our guest. He is the author of the stirring, soul-stirring book, If My People. We'll be sharing with you after the break how you can obtain a copy of this and participate in this 40 days of prayer leading up to this election. Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, since in the Garden of Eden, people were eating plants, and certainly insects died there, can we say that there was no death before sin?
Chris, creationists insist on the biblical doctrine that the wages of sin is death, and that Adam's rebellion brought death into a once very good creation which had no death. In doing so, we must be careful to use the right terms. Certainly Adam and Eve were commanded to eat fruit in the garden, and this implies plant death. It would also be difficult for Adam to avoid stepping on an ant as he walked around. But is this death? The Bible never uses the term living for plants or insects. It teaches that life is in the blood and speaks of the breath of life. Thus only air-breathing, blood-filled animals lived or died. Chris, there was no true death before sin. Let's go back to Genesis for our perspective on these things.
Thanks for joining us for Back to Genesis.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today, If My People. That's the name of a book. It's a prayer guide for our nation. It's been written by Jack Countryman, our guest here today on Crosstalk. And friends, this it's a powerful book. It's a powerful tool of prayer leading up to this time of election across our nation. 40 days leading you up to the election. Prayers. There's prayers from presidents in here. I was just talking with Jack during the break. It's a very easy read to pick this up, leaving it on a nightstand coffee table, picking up that day's reading, and to go through that and to really apply it to your heart. If My People is a hardcover book. It is normally retailing for $9.99, but it is one of the featured books of the month at the VCY bookstore, because the VCY bookstore, like us here at Crosstalk, are trying to get folk across this nation to join together in prayer for our nation, prayer for the election. And so during this month of September through September 30th, they are offering this book for just $5. And that includes any, on top of that will be any applicable tax and shipping, but $5 plus any shipping or tax. Those of you in driving distance, you can stop by and pick it up. They're at the VCY bookstore on 107th and Capitol Drive. Or for those that are needing to have it mailed to you, you can go to the website vcy.com, vcy.com, or call 1-888-722-4829. Folks, again, this is a hardcover book. It is approximately 100 and close to 120 pages in length, and really addresses this issue of prayer, a prayer guide for our nation. And it is such at $5 that there are people who have been picking up multiple copies to share with others. And the bookstore has told us they're going to do a fast turnaround getting this to your into your hands, that you may have it in time in praying daily here leading up to our November 3rd election. Again, it's called If My People, and it is available at vcy.com, vcy.com. That'd be your quickest way, or call 1-888-722-4829, 1-888-722-4829. But especially at that price, Jack, people can get multiple copies to share it with other people, their Bible study groups, Sunday school classes, grandchildren, their sons, daughters, their families, etc. It's a great book to distribute.
Well, thank you so much for that presentation. Yes, it is. And it's a beautiful book, and it's simply laid out. And, you know, I believe that if you spend 40 days praying for the nation, you might just develop a habit of spending every day praying for yourself and for the nation.
Yeah.
Because it takes about 40 days to develop a good habit, and this prayer guide is just to quicken your mind as to the scripture and what I've written, that it might inspire you to spend plenty of time in prayer, because prayer changes things.
Amen. And you referred to this earlier, you have prayers from presidents in here. As a matter of fact, there are, I believe, 7 prayers from past presidents. Tell us something about Washington's prayer that you've written about.
Well, that prayer is an outstanding prayer. Hold on just a minute, and I will find it.
I think that's on page 19 in the book.
And tell you a little bit about it. Page 19?
Yeah.
Yes. Let me read the prayer, because it's just an absolutely wonderful prayer. He says, "O eternal and everlasting God, increase my faith in the sweet promise of the gospel. Give me repentance from dead works. Pardon my wanderings and direct my thoughts unto thyself. The God of my salvation, teach me how to live in thy fear. Labor in thy service and ever to run in the ways of thy commandments. Make me always watchful over my heart, that neither the terrors of conscience, the loathing of holy duties, the love of sin, nor an unwillingness to depart this life may cast me into spiritual slumber, but daily frame me more and more into the likeness of thy Son, Jesus Christ, that living in thy fear and dying in thy favor, I may in thy appointed time attain the resurrection of the just unto eternal life. Bless my family, friends, and kindred.
I don't think we're going to we're not going to find that in today's history books, are we?
No. I mean, this prayer was just powerful, and it was heart-wrenching, and it just showed you where his true faith was in Jesus Christ.
Yes. I'm going to have you just reflect on a couple other presidents. I'm going to have you advance to page 61 in your book, because this is Franklin Delano Roosevelt to FDR, and he had also a very meaningful prayer on D-Day, June 6th of 1944. It's a time which there are listeners today that will readily identify with this. But this was a prayer that was birthed at a very significant time in our nation's history and that of the world.
Yes, it was. May I read it, please?
Please.
Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day has set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity. Lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, steadfastness in their faith. The road will be long and hard, for the enemy is strong. Success may not come with rushing speed, but we shall return again and again, and we know that by the grace and by the righteousness of our cause, our sons will triumph. With thy blessings, we shall prevail over the unholy forces of our enemy. Help us to conquer the apostles of greed and racial arrogance. Lead us to saving our country with our sister nations into a world unity that will spell a sure peace. A peace invulnerable to the schemings of unworthy men, and a peace that will let all men live in freedom, reaping the just rewards of their honest toil. Wow. He really said it, didn't he?
He did. And again, that was D-Day, June 6, 1944. And, you know, right away, Jack, I think the world would just become, you know, I should say our nation would become unglued if the President of the United States would dare to lead the nation in prayer.
Yes. And today, the people that don't follow the Lord are trying to turn us into a nation that is not dependent on God, and that just isn't going to work.
Right. I'm going to have you turn to just one more from a president. It's on page 89 in your book, and it's that of Ronald Reagan. And he also had delivered a speech to the nation, to the American people. The date was February 6th of 1986, and what he had to say in the speech was so critical as well.
He said, "To preserve our blessed land, we must look to God. It is time to realize that we need God more than he needs us. Let us, young and old, join together, as did the First Continental Congress, in the first step in humbled, heartfelt prayer. Let us do so for the love of God and his great goodness, in searching of his guidance and the grace of repentance, in seeking his blessings, his peace, and the resting of his kind and holy hands on ourselves, our nation, our friends, in defense of freedom, and of all mankind now and always. The time has come to turn to God and reassert our trust in him for the healing of America. Our country is in need of and ready for a spiritual renewal today. We utter no prayer more fervently than the ancient prayer for peace on earth. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And God bless you all.
Wow. February 6, 1986, that was delivered by President Ronald Reagan. And again, a very meaningful address that he had made. Jack, I'd like to ask you a question. You're in your 90th year right now. There are those who have entered your age and said, I'm checking out of this. We're just going to leave this to the next generation. I put in my time. Why are you staying so passionate about this issue?
Well, you know, I'm an old athlete. And I played football for the University of Oregon around on a track team. And every athlete that ever existed never wants to be put on the bench. He wants to be always in the game and to be an active part of the game. And I want to be always in the game of life because the Lord is not finished with me yet. He still wants me to serve him. He still wants me to make a difference, to touch lives and change lives. And so that's why I just continue to want to be in the game and be in the publishing game and through my books and the things that we've done, hopefully, to touch lives and change lives for God's glory.
Amen. Amen. And I'm so glad, Jack, I'm so thankful that that you are a mentor to so many in this regard. Truly, as Paul said, the things that you've learned of me, teach now thou to faithful men who will teach others also. And really, that's the impact that you're having as you're teaching younger men and younger families so that they in turn can teach their own families in this regard. And that is so critical that this heritage, this spiritual heritage, continue to be passed down.
You know, praising God should be an everyday occurrence in this great country we call home.
Yeah.
We're blessed with freedom to live as we wish, vote as we choose, worship where we want, and express our opinion without fear of retribution.
Yeah.
These are the privileges we should not take for granted. May God be our guide this November as we plan for the future and prayerfully exercise our right to vote.
Friends, your vote is a stewardship that's been given to you from God, and we ought not to squander that stewardship. We ought not to just tuck it away and just say, oh, well, you know, que sera, sera, whatever will be. But God has put his people in such positions, we've seen it all throughout Scripture, for such a time as this. And Jack, it's no accident. You are here, I am here, the listeners are there for such a time as this.
Well, that is so true. You know, I feel that we have a responsibility, number one, to vote. Number two, to seek God's guidance in our lives because he is the only one that has the wisdom to show us how we ought to live. You know, for the early part of my life, I was so full of myself that I didn't have time for God. But I've learned over the years that I need to have God in my life each and every day.
Amen. Amen.
Showing me where to go, what to do, how to act, and he's promised me the peace that passes all understanding.
We got to take a break right here, folks. We'll be right back.
Increasingly, we are hearing a rallying cry for socialism in our society. Free health care, free education, free food, free everything. Some are fanning the flames by encouraging mobs to change our government, our constitution, and our way of life. Do we really want to go the way of Russia? Of communist China? Cuba? Venezuela? Is socialism a wonderful utopia? Or is it a totalitarian nightmare? Will everything be free? Or will deep state bureaucrats decide who gets what? These are critical issues presented in the book, Socialism, The Real History from Plato to the Present. author Bill Federer tracks the origins of socialism and reveals how the deep state capitalizes on crises to consolidate control. The book, Socialism, is available from VCY for your donation of $18 or more when you call 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. I so appreciate what our guest had to share in this last segment, Jack Countryman. He is the founder of J. Countryman Gift Books, it's a division of Thomas Nelson, but the author of several books. So one we're talking about today, If My People, which has been revised and updated for this year of the election right now. And I so appreciate what he had to say in the standpoint of I asked him about just his age. He's 90 years old, and why is he still in the game? And he shared with us his football experience. He never wanted to be put on the bench. And friends, how many of you right now are just saying, "Ah, this Christianity thing, yeah, I'll go to church on Sunday, but I leave it right there." Folks, we got to stay in the game here. We are not to be spectators, but to be participators in all of these issues of life. And God does have us here for such a time as this. This book, we trust, will rekindle that passion and that desire to go to God daily in prayer, especially as we have such a significant event that we're facing as a nation. If My People, it's a prayer guide for our nation. It's normally $10. But our VCY bookstore is featuring it as a book of the month and has worked with the publisher. It is just $5 for this book plus any applicable tax and shipping. But you can go right now to VCY.com and obtain a copy, VCY.com, or by calling 1-888-722-4829. That's 1-888-722-4829. You have a quote in this book, Jack. It's from Charles Finney. And here's what he said. The time has come that Christians must vote for honest men and take consistent ground in politics. God cannot sustain this free and blessed country, which we love and pray for, unless the church will take right ground. It takes sometimes as if the foundations of the nation are become rotten, and Christians seem to act as if they don't think that God does not see what they do in politics. That's quite a statement.
Oh, well, that's the reason I put it in the book. I put it in the book as a wake-up call. You know, we need to understand that we need to seek the Lord as the direction we go in and not just wallow around in politics and listen to the people as they try to jabber and get their own way. But we need to let God have his way and listen to him and let him be the guide and the one to put within our hearts the choices we need to make of the voting polls.
Amen. Amen. You write, you have a brief writing on each of the Great Awakenings. What should be our takeaway from these Great Awakenings?
Well, the fact that there's three Great Awakenings. And these Great Awakenings are the fact that the nation during these times, the first one was like in 1735 to 45, is that there was a need for the Lord to give direction to the country, and they turned to him. And then again, in the second one was back in the 1800s, 1820, that the same thing happened here, that the Christian revival movement during the early 19th century, and they got turned on about turning their lives to the Lord, and the Lord blessed them. Don't you understand? The Lord is standing there wanting to bless you, but he's willing to have you do it. And then the third one, of course, came a little bit later, and the mainline Protestant church were rapidly increasing number, and the numbers grew and grew and grew, and God in those days became an essential part of society, and that's what he needs to be today.
Do you believe that there could be another Great Awakening today? Could it occur?
If we will get on with it and let the Lord turn to the Lord and repent and seek his face, absolutely.
Hmm. Friends, we're opening our phone lines today. Would like to get your comments, your questions here pertaining to this topic today. If my people, are you a burden for this nation? Are you a burden for where we are today, the direction that we're headed as a nation? Our number is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Oh, you know, we talk about the problems. We talk about the issues on this program. We talk about the importance of being salt and light. And today our emphasis is becoming men and women of prayer. That's so important, Jack.
Well, look, it is the absolute necessity if we're going to have God make our choices for us and we're going to allow God to be the master and ruler of our life. We need to repent, get on our knees, come to him in prayer, and let him lead and guide us to be the nation that he wants us to be.
Now, I've heard you say that a couple times, this word repent, and before you talked about coming to him in repentance or having repentant prayer. We don't like that word today.
Well, that's the reason I said it, is because we need to not do what we like, but we need to do what God requires.
Amen. Amen. We're going to go to the phone lines today. Again, our guest is Jack Countryman. He has put together the book, If My People. It's a prayer guide for our nation. 40 days of prayer leading up to this election. And we'll give you again, if you miss the details, how you can obtain it. We'll give that here again later in the broadcast. Let's begin in Middle Tennessee. We have Cheryl calling in. Hi, Cheryl. You're on the air.
Hi. I'm very thankful to hear this man today. My big question is, we hear this verse, if my people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. Now, I think that mostly the church, the true church, maybe is sleepy, but they're wondering what sins are we supposed to be turning away from. We are not, you know, aborting our babies, I hope, and we are not homosexuals and the things that we hear preached about or we know maybe God would destroy a country over. So it's the people, his people, that are supposed to repent. And the only thing I can think of, I mean, we all live in a daily sense of little sins that we have and we repent over them.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel there's only one hymn that I know of that I used to sing in a congregation. And it comes to my mind all the time. It's a very old hymn, and it starts out, we have not loved thee as we ought, nor cared that we are loved by thee. The things of earth have filled our thoughts. And I can't quote the rest of it, but that hymn witnesses to me. And, you know, I'm always saying, do I love the Lord as I ought? Mm-hmm. And then they go, no. Probably not.
Yeah.
And so could he speak to us and to the church about how the church is supposed to humble themselves?
Mm-hmm.
And what is it that we are repenting over as the church that's being called for?
Thank you, Cheryl. I'll have our guest comment on that. Jack?
Well, first of all, you need to have the Lord be the Lord and master of your life. Let the Lord be the center of your life. Let us be dependent on the Lord. And when the church places the Lord first in everything they do and say, the Lord will affect and change the church and the atmosphere.
Yeah.
The Lord is not interested in what you think. He's interested in what he thinks. And when we humble ourselves before the Lord and let him lead us and guide us, we will change.
Yeah.
And that is really the secret of the whole deal, is if my people who are called by name will humble themselves. You know, what do you consider important in your life?
Mm-hmm.
Your power, your possessions, the things you have, the things you want, the things you do, or is your relationship with Jesus Christ the most important thing in your life? And if it is not, it needs to be.
Yeah. Amen. And, you know, I also want to share, Cheryl, and that personal repentance, so critical. All of those things that they're, that there's nothing between us and the Savior in that regard. But also we see the corporate confession as well taking place in Scripture to ask God to repent against the sins of our nation itself, because our nation has turned its back on God. Even as Abraham Lincoln said, we have forgotten God. We're a nation of great prosperity, but we've forgotten God. And so asking for certainly God's forgiveness to our nation as corporately as well. And then I think about, you know, the church itself. How many churches have given themselves over to entertainment and to sound biblical doctrine? How many churches have said, no, I'm not going to preach on sin because that'll keep people outside the doors. We want to have a message that's going to bring them in. We need to tickle the ears. And so even though there are individual churches, I praise God, that have not gone the direction, sadly the church as a whole across America is going a direction that is far from God, and those are the kinds of things to repent of as a nation and as a church as well.
Okay, that is very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cheryl, for your
and
call.
We need to pray for our ministers that they might be fervent.
Amen.
And minister to us and help convict us.
Right.
Bring out that message that wakes us up.
That's thank you, Cheryl, for your call.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. And that's something that's critical, Jack, that we not have hirelings in the pulpit, but those who are called by God to deliver, thus saith the Lord.
Absolutely. And be willing to preach Scripture and what the Scripture means, and to draw us to repentance and draw us unto the Lord so that we can be all that we've been called to be.
Amen.
Because we've all been called to be witnesses for the Lord.
Amen. Let's go to Mills, Nebraska. Ann, you're on the air.
Hi. I just, I'm out here driving a tractor and mowing hay, and I am thankful that I can get your radio station down here in the middle of nowhere. And wanted to tell you that I've really enjoyed listening to Doc's perspective, and I really just admire and I'm encouraged when I hear older people that I can, that they are still in this game of life. And that is extremely encouraging to a younger person such as myself. And I just wanted to say that I feel like the Great Awakening, or a Great Awakening, is currently either on the cusp or has already begun.
Hmm.
We are just seeing so many people come to Christ through the adversities that have already been plagued on this nation so far.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many instances that Christ has completely turned around what was meant for bad and has come to amazing, awesome glory for Him.
So,
when have we seen people being baptized in a fountain in New York City?
Hmm. Well,
I mean, that's just phenomenal. And I've been really encouraged by listening to the prayers out of the book that he got to read, and I'm just really thankful that I really feel that God is moving exponentially and more than I've ever seen in a really long time because of all of the adversity that's been, you know, brought in front of us.
And thank you for your call here today. Appreciate it so much, your call of encouragement. And Jack, what she's pointing out, God is still at work.
Well, absolutely. God never sleeps. He's with you 24/7. And he always waits. He stands waiting and wants to listen to you.
Yeah.
I wrote a book called God's Listen. And he just wants you to come to him in prayer and open up your heart to him so that he can change you, he can bless you, and he can power his love on you and help you to be all that he wants you to be.
We're up against a break. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. America is headed toward a color revolution. What is a color revolution? A color revolution is often carried out in countries to remove a leader who is deemed to be, well, illegitimate. He's often described as an authoritarian, a fascist, a dictator, a criminal, a racist. the color revolutions have often been carried out, even with the support of our Central Intelligence Agency, in other countries. I contend, and do many others, that a color revolution is now being laid here in America. And a big part of a color revolution is a political warfare agenda. And another word for political warfare is brainwashing, psychological information, propaganda, lies. You're hearing it now. You're hearing the lies being laid down about this election and about President Trump. Do your homework. Understand the narrative is being laid for a color revolution.
This is Crosstalk on BCY America. With us today, Jack Countryman. He is the author of the book called If My People. This is a book that really stirs the heart. It stirs the mind. There's prayers in there from past presidents that were inspired during some of the country's darkest days. It's an ideal book to share with your Sunday school classes, small groups, prayer partners, others in your church, family members. If My People inspires anyone who feels uncertain about how to make a difference in this country and especially this election season, to engage in meaningful prayer. And again, just a reminder, our VCY bookstore has reduced this book by 50%. It's only $5 during this month of September, plus any applicable tax and or shipping. You can reach out at VCY.com, VCY.com. That'd be the quickest way for you, or call 1-888-722-4829. That's 1-888-722-4829. We're going to Santa Fe, New Mexico. Andreas, thank you for your patience. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you, Jim, and your guest for the, you know, for this title that you're announcing today on that, If My People, on that book. But, you know, yeah. God is talking to his people, you know, and he's telling us to change from our wicked ways. You know, we're obviously wicked because our best works are as filthy rags. That's what the word says.
Yeah.
So if we don't change our ways to the better, and that's the people of God, you know, how do we expect anyone else? And then if we're looking for somebody else to do it, it's God's talking to us directly. You know, it says, well, there'll be a revival, there'll be this. But if it doesn't start with us individually, then we miss the whole point. Because in the Songs of Solomon, God is speaking to a very small group of people there, where he says, my beloved, you know, it's a small group that are really make a difference, you know. And then it's like a fire. One match will start a fire. So it's like we have to take it serious enough to where through prayer we have to really, really indulge in it as an individual, you know, because when we're in church, everybody looks good and everything. But God watches us when we leave the doors of the church, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yeah. So if you know, with this year, what's coming up is very serious.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you,
Andreas. Appreciate it so very much. And what we, you know, we read this verse here, Jack, If My People, and we're so familiar with that verse, but we need to read the rest of that chapter, too, because there's warnings to people who will not do that. God says judgment is coming.
Well, you are what you choose to be. You know, life is full of choices.
Yeah.
And I want to urge everybody to make the choice to let God be the Lord, the master of their lives.
Amen.
Because if you want to be blessed, if you want to be trouble-free, if you want to have the peace that passes all understanding, that only comes when we turn our lives over to the Lord and let him lead us and guide us. Because without him, what the scriptures say, we are nothing.
Nothing, yep. Go ahead. Let's go to Ken in Farmington, West Virginia. You're on the air, Ken.
Thank you, Jim. And your guest today is a wonderful topic. I love the topic of prayer. I just wanted to mention a few things that have been a blessing to me. The prayers of the Apostle Paul, as he outlines them in his epistles, are such a beautiful pattern.
Yes.
Because he himself was our pattern. So if we want to learn how to pray, we need to pray effectively and fervently based on what Scripture has taught us. You know, we look at David in the Old Testament and what a pattern he was in the Psalms. But in the New Testament for you and I today, how much more than the urgency of the hour? I mean, when you realize there's an eternity to face without God, and, you know, if you read what Paul told the Philippians, it had to go exactly along with what Jesus said, if you have love one to another, that's how all men will know that you're my disciples.
Amen.
And Paul says that, in this I pray, verse 9 in Philippians 1:9, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. You see, the people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, but we prayed that people would have knowledge, that we would increase and abound in this, because that's the only way we're going to prove things are excellent and stay out of sin in the first place.
Amen.
That you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, even right here, right out in front of us. So the prayers are there, and there's two in Ephesians that are really blessed, but for time's sake, I won't mention that, but people can look those up.
Yep, all throughout Scripture. Thank you, Ken. Great comment. Denise in Somerset, Kentucky, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Denise, and I was thinking about the National Day of Humbling Ourselves and Fasting and Praying. It's going to gather up there in Washington. There's going to be a lot of praying and fasting going on and gathering there, and it's going to be streamlined into people, the churches, if they want, and then it's also going to be in people's, people can fast and pray in humility in their homes, and, you know, we shed a lot of innocent blood, and I think that we need to turn to the Lord and ask Him to forgive us for that as nationally, and then individually our families are broken, and ask Him to help us live the way He wants. And the other thing I keep listening for is when these good things happen for us, that when the leaders of our country start talking about the good things that have been done, for them to give Him the glory like David did.
Right, indeed. Good point, Denise. And thank you for raising that. And that's something we need to do, Jack, is to give God the glory, do we not?
Oh, you better give God the glory, because He is the one who wants it and needs it and it desires it for us.
Yeah.
You know, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says, don't worry about anything and pray about everything.
Yeah.
And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind as you trust in Christ Jesus. So prayer is really the beginning and the end and the answer to all of our lives. And if we learned, and by praying to the Lord, we end up by putting Him first. And when we put Him first, He acknowledges us. He wants to bless us. He wants to guide us. He wants to infuse us with His love and grace and mercy. So my urge to you all is truly, let your prayer life be the way you walk and talk and how you live. And hopefully 40 days of prayer will be the beginning of a long prayer life for each and every one of you.
Amen. Well, friends, again, I have to apologize. The theme music already coming up. We've run out of time on the broadcast. Jack, thank you so much for putting this book together and stirring our hearts toward prayer.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure to be with you today.
And folks, to obtain this, go to vcy.com or call 1-888-722-4829. So critical to be praying for our nation, be praying for our election coming up in such times as these. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.